Heroes.
Welcome back to the Bible Study Girl podcast. Oh, I'm trying to get myself together. This is Sarita, but I'm also known as Bible Study Girl, and I'm just a girl with something to offer the world. And the first voice you heard that was proclaiming the good news, Heroes, was the executive producer of this podcast, Bible Study Brother.
It is I, Bible Study Brother, but I am also known as Icarus Gray over at Gray Area Anime, and this is the most wonderful podcast of your day. And as my sister likes to say, we are not just brothers and sisters in Christ, we're brothers and sister, brother and sister in real life. Never mind. I had another rhyme scheme I could have went. I'm gonna get off of it, but yeah, we came from the same person. We share a mother and all of that. Heroes.
He rose. Didn't he rise? He rose. Yeah. But before we dive into the fact that he rose, brother, how's your week?
It's good. I had a very good Friday.
Ba-dum-bum.
It's been a great week, man. God is good. Like, I just will always be thankful in that way of, like, in the face of what I'm sure he saw, which is like the YouTube or all the comment sections, all the negative comment sections times a million in his face. You know, so I'm just in a place of thankfulness, because this is, you know, one of those weeks where you just kind of you bask in that and you stay in a place of glory. We've had an amazing church service that we did, like a secret egg drop, which is not something I knew was a thing, but is apparently a thing. That's really cool. So we've had a lot of fun with that. And yeah, man, I'm just, you know, blessed and highly favored. How about you?
My week has been great. You want to talk about blessed and highly favored? So my pastor has been preaching about tithing, the importance of tithing, and not only the importance of tithing, but the importance of giving an offering, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been a tither traditionally. For the most part, I have been a tither, right? When even the year that I went 3 months without working, I tithed. And I wasn't working because of the pandemic, because everything shut down. But anyway, so even in that season, I tithed. And I went back and I looked at my tithes over the year. Do you know when I stopped tithing?
When?
When everybody died. Uh-huh. I stopped tithing. Not that that's a good thing, but it's my truth. Like, it's in the records. I can look back and see. And so I had to have a come to Jesus meeting with myself and a pep talk to get back on track, right? So I did. And like I said, my pastor has been doing a series about tithings and offerings. So financially, you know, I've spoken before about the fact that I'm paying off debt, right? That's my goal. That's my plan. I'm working really hard right now. I'm working extra jobs and using that money for my part-time jobs to pay off debt that I have. And so I'm not going to lie, the series on tithes and offerings was not my favorite. It was not something I wanted to hear, because I am making extra money, right? But that money is going towards paying off my debt. So I decided, he was talking about how the offering, he was talking about it in a relational way, right? Like, a woman can be married to her husband and he does all the things that he's supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? But the things that really make a relationship thrive and like sparkle are those extra things that you do because you love somebody, not because you quote unquote have to do it, right? Like in my mind, a husband is supposed to, I don't know, just it's just the extra things, the things you do on top, you sprinkle on top that really kick the relationship up an extra level, extra notch, like a post-it note, I love you on the mirror. It's not required in a relationship, right? But it's nice. It's a little extra, shows appreciation. So I'm saying all that to say this. So I was struggling with that concept, but I decided he was preaching, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give some offering today. And like not a little offering, but like some offering today just to show God how much I love him. And so I sent the money in, right? Well, I go get my Walmart order, and I was talking around my mouth. I wasn't really paying attention to what they were putting in the trunk. I get home and I'm like, I didn't order all of this. I did not order all of this. Like, if I had really been paying attention when I was at Walmart and he was loading the car, I would have been like, all these bags are not mine because I know what I ordered. You have to order like $35 worth of stuff for them to bring it to your car for free. And you know me, if I ain't got to go in, I ain't trying to go in. So I'm going to make sure I order $35 worth of stuff.
Lord.
Y'all, come on, bring this out to the car for free, right? So anyway, get home. When I say it was like, so I spent $35, right? The extra groceries I got that were not mine, that they would not take back, you know, because this has been at your house. Like, we don't want this stuff. Like, we'll. So it was like easily, and I'm not even exaggerating, easily an extra $150 in groceries. The thing that's so special to me about it, and I feel like was an indication of God for me, like, not it. I don't want to make it seem like it's a tit for tat relationship, but like when you trust me and you show me you love me, girl, I'm gonna, like the verse says, I'm gonna open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive it. You and I both know there are certain things I don't eat, right? So it could have easily been an order full of things that just did not apply to my life. But when I say all the stuff in that order was stuff for me, it was vegetables. It was chicken broth. I use chicken broth like I don't, it was cat food in there. Do you hear me? And I have a hungry cat at home. And you know what he did? He tore into that cat food because I forgot. I generally don't leave his the bags of cat food out because he has a feeder. I just pour it in the feeder. But like if he sees a bag of cat food out, he's gonna bite into it, and that's what happened. So that food is gonna be stale, but whose fault is it? His, not mine. And you're gonna eat this food when it's time. Amen. Anyway, so it was, that was amazing, but it doesn't stop there. I got a check in the mail that was two times the offering that I put in church, and it was money I was not expecting. I'm like, okay, God, I see you, big, I see you, big God. So I said all that to say this week has been good for me. I feel like God is showing me that if I trust him, he's true to his word. He's gonna open up the windows and pour me out blessings that I don't have room enough to receive it. I have not reached the point where I don't have room to receive it. So I'm excited to see what the weeks ahead bring when it comes to me trusting God with everything that I have. Because one thing about me, you know this to be true, I always try to put my hands in things and make things work and make it happen because that's what I do. I'm not going to sit here and just wait around. And he showed me that if I, really trust him and show him where my heart is. He's gonna open up the windows and pour me out blessings. And so for that, I'm very grateful. So I said all of that to say my week has been great and God has shown up and shown out in my life and proven himself to be a provider for me, and that's real deal, big, serious for me. And he continues to show me that he's going to take care of me, point blank, period. I'm his, and he's gonna make it do what it do. So that's how my week was, brother.
Girl.
I'm ready for this. You got it.
I do. Our scripture for today comes from Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through, I added 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith.
I want to give you a little nugget to the listeners out there. We don't discuss the scriptures beforehand. We don't discuss what we're going to talk about as far as our week is concerned. So I feel like, to me, and I've said this before, I feel like God speaks to me. He'll tell me something, or I feel like it's from him, and then he'll confirm it. And I feel like the scriptures you just read confirmed it. I'm walking out my faith day by day. And I think those scriptures sum it up nicely. And I think they really point us into the direction of this episode. So we are currently on tiptoe anticipation, ready for tomorrow, also known as Resurrection Sunday. When we grew up, Easter. I want to start off this episode, though, brother, by asking you, when's the first time you heard Easter referred to as Resurrection Sunday?
I don't remember when it wasn't referred to as Resurrection Sunday.
You don't?
Not really. Like, I mean, I've heard Easter, but like, because we had, my earliest recollections of like when Easter really started hitting was the nerve-wracking signing at the amphitheater. Y'all, listen, I know we have a small
sunrise service.
So like, so sunrise service and Easter and resurrection, like all of these things just run in my head is like, I don't know when they were ever separate, because those are the times that I think about. I think about sunrise service. I think about, you know, we would do our Easter speeches, but majority of the pastors will say, you know, like on this Resurrection Sunday, on this, you know, Easter. So they're all like synonymous. I feel like they all had different designations, because I always felt like Easter was just the eggs and stuff. Like, but that really was probably the only distinction I think I made.
I think I can tell you, I know I was grown and living in Augusta, Georgia, and my pastor of my church there in Georgia, they didn't call it Easter like at all. It was Resurrection Sunday. And he did thorough teaching about why he didn't call it Easter and we need to remain focused on the Christ and all of that. And I think that was the first time for me that there was a true, like that I heard it referenced as Resurrection Sunday and Resurrection Sunday only and not Easter. So that's why I was asking you, because for me that was like eye opening, because it was just Easter to me then. You know, of course I knew it was Resurrection Sunday, but like growing up, I don't remember. I don't know. Do you remember I'm calling it Resurrection? I remember. I remember
saying things that, like I said, they would say it more so, like, because they would say, Good Friday. What was Saturday? In terms of like,
I don't know what Saturday's name is. I know Thursday is Maldi Thursday or something like that.
I'm trying to remember all the things, but those three things, like I said, they would say that, but I always hear them saying Resurrection Sunday. Like, okay. And especially like it's what they lead with, and then they say Easter the same way, like, but I'm also thinking about this from the perspective that I am a Christian through and through, in the sense that all the holidays that we celebrate, in that sense, were always like Christmas is all like more Jesus, is how I interpreted that.
Yeah.
versus how people, you know, talk about the same kind of conversations about like why you wouldn't say Easter, like all this. I'm like, but it's the Lord's Day. You know, it's how I thought about all these things or whatever. And so like, especially like for the longest time, like I'll be like, where's, like most holidays to me had something to do with Jesus in my head.
Right.
But yeah.
Any holiday, this St. Patrick's Day, have something to do with Jesus for you?
It didn't feel like those, I just didn't consider them real holidays.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
so you, yeah.
Yeah. So it would just like be a random day where we had to wear green. Just to keep somebody from pinching me, and I'm not Irish anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you that question. So do you remember, what are your earliest Easter memories or Resurrection Sunday memories?
Getting dusted because you knew where all the eggs were. And our and our little yellow and green house. Running around, and like I don't have that kind of eyesight. Like your eyesight is just better than mine. So at that time, at least, you know, we kind of even toe-to-toe right now. We're really not, y'all, but
yeah, I mean, my glasses are crooked right now. I'm telling you, my vision is not what it used to be.
Girl, I've been, you know, seven plus my entire life.
I keep telling you, I opened the door to 40. My toe, now my leg, it's beyond my toe being in. My leg is in now, like up to my calf. In the door of 40.
Not,
I ain't walked all the way in.
So it would be that. It would be, I feel like Easter Sunday is where sometimes we would get those little Easter Sunday baskets with like the apple and orange and stuff in them.
No, you can. I remember, well, I can't tell you what you remember, but I remember getting my own personal Easter basket. Like,
I definitely don't remember getting no Easter basket. I think that was something they stopped before I got here, because I definitely don't remember.
No, you got them, but I can't make you remember them. You got them too.
No. Yes, I did. My bad. I remember now.
I was going to say, Mama's gonna get you when she hears this episode.
Right. I remember Mama, like, because I remember there was one that was like, I'm thinking about the Easter colors. Like, this don't mean that I actually remember. I do remember, but I remember like the Easter pastel green thing and eating all the candy, and then we run around and get the eggs or whatever. So for the house to be yellow and orange, I'm in elementary school, so like that's the first back I remember.
Do you like the fact that I'm interviewing you about Resurrection Sunday?
It's funny. But, you know, it's,
you know,
journey.
What you forgot to give me?
What? Oh, I did.
You surely forgot,
man,
to give that to me. And I was going to say something. I was going to say something to you before we started recording. But then I was like, you know, he says you micromanage. But look what happens when I take my foot off the gas, buddy.
Whatever. Oh man, you're something else.
I hope you appreciate this interviewing style. I am going somewhere. I'm not just rambling.
I know you are. I like, because this is the first episode that you like, it was one of those, she's like, hey, we're doing this. I was like, okay. Let's go. I know that meant,
so
yeah, something of this fashion.
So what was the first Resurrection Sunday for you? I think we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first Resurrection Sunday for you that it really clicked what it meant? Like Jesus's torture, like all of it. Like when you really, like in a real way, mm-hmm. it kind of like clink, 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 clink. Like, oh, this is what this is, and this is what this means.
Let's see here. When did this come out? So, let's see. So, it would have been sometime around 2004. Why? Passion of the Christ. Like, because again, I have no mental reference in my brain of like what, you know, when they say it, you get it. But like after seeing that movie, I think every Easter, like, I got it. Like, oh no, oh, this is, and it just grows more and more. Because, you know, the older you get, the more experiences you get, the more you kind of understand what happened through Jesus' life. When you think about, and I was talking about it the other day, like, no love in his hometown. Like, they wasn't feeling him. And then, like, you know, you got people gambling for his clothes, like lashing him in a way. Like, I've only seen Passion of Christ one time in movie theaters. Have never seen it again and will never watch it again. Like, because
ever.
I don't care if it was like in your will that I needed to watch it to get something. I'm not
to get the money.
To get whatever, you're not, whatever you. I'm not watching it, bro. I'm just gonna have to. Hey, my sister don't love me like that. I'm not doing it.
$500,000.
Not doing it, bro.
Are
listen,
you being for real right now?
Let me explain
now?
To you. Listen, yes, I am. Okay, I'm being 100%. Here's why.
I can tell by your face.
Yo, so in the movie where they're like whipping him and they lash and that chunk of his flesh comes out, that was one. So I'm already crying at this point. Second portion is where they go, like they go down in hell and show whatever little dude they had dressed as the devil or however they had him dressed, and they come back out because it was coinciding, I think, with Judas killing himself. I think mm-hmm. it was like it was this whole like, mm-mm. I said, oh no, like the fear. I mean, now granted, because I'm no longer in a, I'm not feeling the. Fire and brimstone teaching, because I know that just that's just a method, not the truth in a sense. I could probably convince myself to look at it, but I would just skip through those parts. But I really feel adamant that I don't need to ever see that movie again.
So just imagine. So okay, I'm gonna share that. I think that movie for me too was a turning point, because when you hear the story of how Jesus was done, especially when you've been in church all your life, I think it can kind of, you get numb to it. No, you know what I mean? Numb.
We've also had like, you guys got to think like kids, we've had like things where we do stuff about like nails and where the nails were and like we'll right. do stuff. But you're not, like, I'm not, like, oh, this is a fun arts and crafts thing. Like, and they're trying to, like, you know, ease you into it. But then, like, without that movie, there's no, oh.
I think for me, it was just being able to visualize what I heard all those years. Mm-hmm. It made a different connection for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing I want to be mindful of is, you know, those very real emotions that you felt when you watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even without watching the movie, I need to be mindful of the emotions I feel when I think about the fact that he died for me. Like, for real. Like, not for play. Not for a speech. But he literally gave up his life so that I could have life and have the opportunity to have life with him. And I was just asking you those questions because I think a lot of times it's easy to take it for granted. It becomes part of the fabric of our lives and who we are. And I could even just in having relationships with people here on earth, you take them for granted when they are good to you or kind to you or nice to you. You just come to expect that same level of care and adoration. Actually, you want more, right? Because we don't,
you know,
we're not satisfied.
There's a song for what you were saying.
You gonna sing it?
Yeah, but just say the what of our life? The feet. You know, oh, no. The fabric.
But I just think, like, for real, yeah. Like,
sorry, y'all. I apologize for my outburst.
When just, you, yeah. it, I think, over the years, you can get numb to it. You get into the routine of this is Resurrection Sunday. We're going to cook. We're going to spend time with family. But I think it's important for us to for real think about the sacrifice and not just on Resurrection Sunday. I should make you watch that movie once a year, like not on Resurrection Sunday, just to like keep it at the front of your mind.
That make me do what?
Make you watch it once a year.
Girl,
Joe, you listen to me. I called you by your government name.
Nah,
listen,
nah, I hear you.
I have one way to make you watch it every year.
I bet you do.
Huh?
I bet you do. I bet you think you do.
I do. Let me tell y'all, my brother has told me that if I pass away before him, he's gonna like come to my grave and like watch movies with me.
I already know what I'm gonna watch with you. See, because I know you try to like have some Tom Fangle foolishness. Because I'm not, I'm coming to have fun with you. I'm not coming to have you torture me in the afterlife. So
listen to me. I have so much, I'm gonna have so much money by the time that happens that I'm gonna have it in my headstone. Like, it'll be able to scan people's faces if you show up. The movie is start playing, and that will deter you from sticking around, won't it? It'll make you go live your life, won't it?
Girl, listen, I've been.
Jesus died so that you could have life. Do you hear me?
I have and life have more abundantly.
Yeah.
Listen, man. So that was the moment for you. Also, the secondary moment where Easter got a little bit more real for me, and I think this might be the case for more like Southern people who have an experience with their grandmothers, was after my Patriot died, like where Easter Sunday, where it's like when you start losing people and you start gaining more in the host of witnesses, it changes, like, you know, like how you feel about it. Like, so 2004, then, you know, 4 years later, 2008, like, it's different, you know, wearing those suits, like, and especially like once my suit starts changing in terms of the style of suit I was wearing, you know, like it started to like feel a little bit different, or like the first Sunday where I didn't go and buy a new suit, but I still felt good. You know what I'm saying? Like it's the growth and evolution of that connecting point to knowing what Jesus went through, why he did it. Like he knew all the stupid things I was going to do. And still said, for him, you know, for you,
yeah,
for them, for they, for you know, whatever, like all of them. And
I think for me too, that does put it in different perspective, because we know I'm a little wild and free. So are you.
A little crazy.
A little cray cray. So I think it puts it in a different perspective for me. Sorry I cut you off. You were going to say.
Oh, no. I was just saying, yeah, that's a fact. Like, with the both of us, like, yeah, you're right. I am a little wild.
I'm working. So as a person that is looking to have a family of your own, what things do you think you want to impart to your children when it comes to Resurrection Sunday? What things do you think are going to be important for you to emphasize or pass on in your household, do you think?
That's a good question. Obviously, having joy. Like, I think what I realized now, the purpose of Easter, as we celebrate, you know, doing the Easter egg hunts and all this other stuff, right, is so you remember that there is joy. There was joy in the fact that you are free.
Right.
We don't put that together because it's, you know, such a we always try to make this separation of church and state, like, no, you just gotta be gracious, and you know, like, we make it so heavy, and it's like his burdens are light. They not like it ain't, you know, he made me in a way to have fun and enjoy myself. Like, whether or not I make that that connection known is my job. And so I want to make that known to them. I want I say it again, we might end up watching that movie. Like, once I think you're at a certain age, you might have to watch this. Just so you can kind of get an actual understanding of that. And I'm not, like, right, trying to shelter you from the reality of the fact that it was a brutal death. You know, I'm not going to hide from you the fact that, like, to understand, like, how we are as people, why it was necessary. I am going to be, you know, way more. I also want to be more involved in terms of explaining the totality of what was going on. We talked about this some podcasts ago, but for those of you who don't know, I went to see The Thorn, which is a play about, you know, Jesus's life and time. And we get to the part about Judas and stuff. And it's like, I've been in a place where I've, like, rethought how I thought about Judas, because mm-hmm. how we normally talk about him is just this person who is the worst person in the world. When we just make it seem like he was just immediately like, well, let me sell my Lord and Savior out. The part we fail to realize is the same thing that we fail to realize about the realness of the cross, which is he has seen this man heal the blind, heal the sick, cure people with lepers, make the lame walk, like raise the dead. So if he thought there was any possibility of what was actually going to happen to him, I promise you he wouldn't have done it. I promise you he thought that he was going to
Vamoose.
Like, who y'all think, like, literally, you don't realize, like, the people he went up against, like, he went up against the Pharisees way more times, the bad Pharisees, I should say, way more times than just that, just in his ministry. You know, they were on the sea while a storm is raging and it's calm. Like, there's no way you think that dude is finna be, like, captured, let alone, you know, strung up and killed. So, you know, it's not so much like I'm trying to, like, make him into some, you know, great, just the most amazing person, but I want the full understanding of these circumstances, because they were more, like, more people are mad at Peter for denying him three times. Like,
what I was going to say is, and I think we talked about this in a podcast recently. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I resonate with what you're saying, because I think it was, anyway, it doesn't matter when we talked about it on the podcast, but, like, these people are real. Yeah. They are real flesh and blood people that deal with, you know, feelings of inadequacy, all those things. They're actually living humans, and they're not just, I want to say maybe trope is the word, but they're not just, you know.
Or they're not analogies of right. something. They're not like metaphors for something else. They're actual people.
Yeah, they're actual people that have real struggles. And I often wonder what people would say if my life was on display and some of the choices I've made that were not great. They were not great choices. They were horrible choices. But if that's what defined me, you know? I get what you mean. He was a human. We all make choices, and he made a choice ultimately. And that's a choice that has defined who he is.
And then had the devil so on his neck. Like, he was already filled with guilt. I know, like, you know, if he, like, literally, if the man didn't kill himself, was forgiven, would have been forgiven. It's not even, like, something that is, like, arguable. Because if there are so many people that you would say, you are an unforgivable person. You killed this person, your mother, your mom, like, and you would try and decide that they're unforgivable. But if in a truly repentant heart that, like, you are giving yourself to God, like, you're giving all of your mistakes to him and like changing your life, forgiveness is there for you.
Let me say this. This ain't got nothing to do. I mean, it has it's Resurrection Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. We're getting ready for Resurrection Sunday. We're talking about hope. And this conversation about forgiveness, I think, has been a running theme in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you talking to me right now about there's nobody that's unforgivable. Mm-hmm. It's really ring-a-ding-a the bell for me, because in my last therapy session, let me tell you a fun fact about me, and my therapist probably knows this about me. So I go to therapy for one reason. I very rarely get to the point right at the beginning of the session. I'm going to finagle, daggle, talk about all the other issues that I'm having in life before I get to the meat of the matter, the real reason I'm there. And I usually wait till around the end of the session to say, also, just so you know, this happened and I want to discuss this. So the last time I went to the therapist, I was talking to him about my feelings about a situation, and I wanted insight as to how I could move on, how I could make a better choice, how to better manage my emotions. And he talked to me about the fact that the real issue, the deeper issue, the more important issue that I needed to manage was forgiveness. He was like, have you forgiven this person? And I said, you know, and there was a long pause. The fact that you are having it, he was like, that's a deeper conversation to have. And you just saying it to me reminds me that no matter what, there's nothing that's unforgivable, right? Because Judas sent Jesus to his death. If it had to been Judas, it would have been somebody else. Because listen, people. but even that's forgiven, you know? And although I know forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for me, I do struggle with that area.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Lord had you go down that rabbit hole so he could say to me, girl.
Yeah, even, but like, because I've been thinking about this lately. When I think about Resurrection Sunday and what Jesus did for all of us, right? So say heaven is not, okay, so here's how I thought heaven was going to be. So when they say we would be new bodies and we would cry no more and everything else, I'm thinking I will have no recollection of anything. Because if I don't remember sadness, like my brain is just different. You know, like all these different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just give you a memory of, you know who you are, you know the things that you've experienced in life, but you are now just able to see them through hopefully the lens of God. And maybe we're just going to keep you at a base level, right?
Okay.
Here's the scenario, if you will. So you're walking into heaven, right? You see you're somebody you really, really cared about. And you're happy that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
You also see to the right the person that in your mind made your life the hardest. And it could be a true thing. Are you happy they're there?
I know we're on a podcast. Long pause.
Yeah.
Long pause.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he died for us all.
Yeah.
I would hope that if I'm in heaven, I don't even care.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No. But I'm saying, answer the question, though, because I have a response. So is it no?
The microphone ain't broke.
Yeah. That was good. It's a deep one.
I don't know. I think that's a, for me, I don't know. I don't know.
So, like, okay. So the reason.
Here's the thing. I think I don't want anybody to go to hell, right? I guess my dilemma is I'm getting in, baby. Like, I don't, and really, I don't know anybody's heart, period, right?
That's what I'm saying.
If they getting in, the Lord done fixed it. I'm happy for you.
But then that's
But
the other thing
I
is
had
like, yeah.
to, I had to process that. Okay, like
Yes.
I'm thinking, like how petty.
And that's the thing that I'm saying. Like a lot of us are we think of ourselves as the prodigal son. Like, man, I lived a life and then I accepted Jesus. Most of us are that brother. I've been here.
100%.
I've
Like,
been
why does
here.
he get?
Like, why is.
I've been here
And
the
it's like,
whole
if
time.
that's where you are, then that's the part where you have to start working on your heart. Because, and that's where forgiveness truly lies in terms of the mindset. It's like, yeah, I'm not saying that I don't want you to have to talk to God about the things that you did to me or that you did to other people. I am, however, saying that I don't want the worst for you. And that's hard and it's difficult. And it's like, if I see you there, then I know he did not have the worst for you. And I know
Right.
that you actually made a change. And I'm thankful for that. Because if I'm gonna be so petty as to think that there's like a place where earnest repentance can't reach God, listen.
We in a world of trouble.
Listen, if the permissible sin that I think that I'm doing, and permissible sin is like, so there are things that are permissible wrath, I should say, is the things that you do that you know you shouldn't be doing that God just allows you to do because he
Correct.
is a gentleman. He is not going to force you to do anything.
That's true.
The things that, you know, I talk about this when I'm normally talking about our mindset and love towards all different kinds of people, like the way we treat people of the alphabet community is not the same way that you would treat somebody that cheats, or it's not the same way that you treat somebody who is
There's a
gluttonous
liar.
or sloven, is a liar. Like you don't ever look at somebody that be lying all the, I ain't gonna say ever, but majority of the time you're not looking at somebody that's lying or doing all these other things like, there ain't no way you get in heaven.
Right.
Like so. And it's not to say, you know, not to hate the sin. It's just to understand more the love of people so you can like get to a point to where you are actually moving and giving love because you'll be mad upset. Like if like again, if that's the last thing to fall from them, like if it's the last moment and they are having a genuine conversation with the Lord about their life, like Samson didn't do what he was supposed to do until the last minute and gave his life for it. And I know what
Right.
Samson is.
But here's the thing too, it's so easy to like somebody that knew him from at this point in his life. Do you know what I'm saying? Like this certain point, that's all you know Samson for. Like how did he get in? So how can I be hard-hearted and be like, "Man, you got in." I don't know. I feel like today has been a very relevant
Yeah.
and real conversation
Really?
as we go into Resurrection Sunday. What is the hope? Because there's definitely sadness when we talk about Resurrection Sunday, just because of all the pain and the torture and all of that. But there's a resounding hope and there's a joy that because he came, he died, he overcame death, we have life, right? And that's something to be excited about. I'm forever grateful for. And I'm grateful that we're able to have these conversations. It's a safe space.
And we are going to at this moment. Oh, gotta bring up the organs a little bit, guys. Let the Lord come into this place. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Let me stop talking in this, the preacher voice. But I did want to do this specifically because maybe you've been listening to this and something has moved in your heart. I want you to know Resurrection Sunday as I stumble all over my words because I am a human who needs to take it slow sometimes. He did all that for you, for me, for this world. If you have felt a change in your heart, here's a simple prayer. If you have not yet given your life to Jesus and invited him into yours, so just pray with me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and to restore me to the Father. I choose now to turn from my sins, my self-centeredness, and every part of my life that does not please you. I choose you. I give myself to you. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in my life as my Savior and Lord. Come reign in my heart. Fill me with your love and your life and help me become a person who is truly loving, a person like you. Restore me, Jesus. Live in me. Love through me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. And let the church say, amen.
Amen. I can't think of a better way to wrap up our discussion about Resurrection Sunday and what it means to us, what's meant to us through the years, and what it means to us currently. I think we done laughed and we've been serious in this episode. I think it perfectly encapsulates what he died for, to give us the ability to ask questions and to answer and not be, and not be shamed for having reservations or not being 100% sure about certain things. I'm thankful that he died and he got up for all of that.
Yeah. Give God everything. Give him your doubts. Give him your anger. Give him your pain. Give him your confusion. Give him your, like, that life that you're living. That parent who has treated you away that makes you not feel like people love you. That job, that relationship, you know, your addiction. Give that to him. I'm not saying this will be the easiest road you have ever walked, but it will be worth the reward and illuminating to the fact that your life matters. No matter what life you live in, it matters. It matters to him. It matters in regards to testimony. The one of the big tenets of why we do this podcast is to continuously give testimony to the life we live, the pitfalls we have, the troubles we have with forgiveness. We're very honest with the fact that I'm saying, like, yeah, I would have some issue with some people being there, but I am working towards being more excited about the fact that it's like, if you're here, that means you changed around. You're not the same person that I knew. And I'm thankful for that, because the same blessings and glory that, I've received, or same grace that I've received, the same grace I want you to receive. Because it's not about, you know, it's just not about you or I that preach, but we preach.
And until we meet again, guys, keep preaching. Yeah.